and welcome to another episode of Podcast DX, the show that brings you interviews with people just like you, whose lives were forever changed by a medical diagnosis. I'm Lita.
You sure?
Yep.
And I am Ron.
Today we're discussing a topic that has generated a lot of interest and a lot of debate. Memory villages. Sometimes called dementia villages.
I'm going to be honest with you. I have not heard this terminology before. However, I can tell you that these communities are designed to give people that are living with dementia a more normal, familiar type of environment. But they also raise serious questions about the cost, the access, and whether or not the model truly delivers better care to the individuals.
I think they are mostly overseas. Okay. Since there's no guest today, we're going to explore the good and the bad together. What makes the idea so appealing and why some people are cautious about it.
All right. Let's start at the beginning or the basics. What is a memory village?
A memory village is a care setting designed to look and feel like a small community instead of a traditional facility. Residents can move around more freely, take part in everyday activities, and live in an environment that tries to preserve dignity, routine, and independence as much as possible.
Okay, I mean, it sounds more like a neighborhood rather than a hospital setting.
Right.
Okay.
And there may be shops or small, you know, little countertops that they can go to and purchase things. Walking paths, common rooms where people can gather, maybe with a piano or a TV. They might have gardens that they take part in. There's places that feel familiar and comforting. And the goal is to reduce the institutional feel of care.
I guess my question, is this kind of like a bigger, like a subdivision or like a block?
No, or? I think it's kind of like the same size as a quote unquote nursing home.
Okay, so a smaller environment just set up differently. Okay.
Right. But it may be like a cube, and in the center of the cube are all of these different things that they could do, and the outside peripheral of the cube are all their individual rooms.
Okay, so that, I can see then why that, why people might be more drawn to that type of concept. Does sound a little bit more humane than a nursing home.
Yeah, it can be. I mean, I think that's the goal.
Okay.
The best case version of a memory village gives residents more freedom, more stimulation, mental stimulation, and more opportunities to participate in daily life instead of feeling confined.
Well, that's good. That does bring us to the good part of it. What are some of the main advantages of these memory villages?
One major advantage is dignity. People living with dementia often do better when they can keep some control over their day and move through a space that feels familiar rather than restrictive.
Okay. I guess another benefit then is engagement. Residents may be more active, more social, and also more involved in some of the ordinary routines like walking and eating. And gardening or even taking part in some simple community activities.
And that can matter a lot. For many people, activity and routine can help reduce agitation and create a sense of purpose.
Well, there's something emotionally powerful about the design itself. A memory village can reduce the feeling that a person has been, quote unquote, placed in a facility.
Yes. It's like, hey, Mom, how would you like to move into a a new building that he has a lot more opportunities to do things safely. You know, like you love to garden, and it's hard for you to garden here, but over here, it's a breeze. They make it raised gardens in raised beds so you don't have to bend. It's really a super facility. Did I sell you?
Well, it does sound more like a community where people would have more independence and more, what's the word I'm looking for? Yeah, I guess independence, because that's a huge thing, and that does a lot for your self-esteem. I'm sure that's pretty reassuring for families as well.
Yeah, it could be. Families often want a setting that feels less clinical, more personal. Mm-hmm. A village model can look more welcoming and less frightening than a locked ward or a standard memory care unit.
Okay, which also brings us to some of the supporters saying that they talk about the safety, the environment usually secured, mm-hmm. but not in the traditional way where it feels like an institution. It although it's secured, it is less hospital based.
Right. You know, like exit doors might not look like exit doors.
Right.
And this way people aren't trying to exit. Balance also matters. Dementia care has to manage wandering risk, confusion, and supervision, but it also has to avoid making people feel trapped.
It, you know what? It goes back to what you just said. So it's protecting people without making them feel punished.
Exactly.
Okay, that's great. Now let's look at the other end of the spectrum. Let's look at the quote-unquote bad. What are some of the concerns out there regarding these types of communities?
Like negative concerns?
Yes, negative.
Well, cost is one of the biggest ones. These communities are expensive to build and operate, which means they may only be available to a small number of people.
Okay. So that actually creates an equity issue. Something tells me that it's not covered by insurance.
I don't know.
We'd have to look into that.
If a model is praised as ideal, but only a few families can afford it, well, then it becomes more of a showcase than a solution, right?
Yeah, unfortunately, that does seem to be the case. I guess through some of the research, another concern is evidence. Although the concept itself sounds good, it doesn't necessarily automatically mean that it produces better outcomes than any conventional medical care institutions that are already out there.
Well, it's kind of new,
okay.
And it may take time to get that evidence built up. There's a difference between a compelling idea and a proven long-term benefit. Families deserve more than good branding. They deserve solid evidence that the model will improve the quality of life, the quality of their health, and their safety.
So I guess there's another question or concern whether the environment itself is actually authentic. Or is it just staged that way to feel authentic?
Well, that's a fair concern. A village idea can be comforting, but it's still in a controlled setting. And some people may feel that the normalcy is artificial, even if it's well-intended.
So the criticism is not that comfort is bad, but that the design can sometimes feel like a performance of ordinary life rather than the real thing?
Exactly.
Okay.
And for some families, that may not matter as much if the care is good. And for others, it just raises ethical questions.
There's also an issue or concern of whether residents are actually being empowered, or are they just simply being managed in a softer way?
Now that's a question for Jennifer Stoner.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have to get her on the show to talk about this later. But that is an important distinction. A warm-looking environment can still hide a lot of structure and control. The key question is whether the residents preferences, histories, and rights are genuinely respected.
Right. So the Memory Village itself can't be just about design. It also has to be about the quality of care for the people that are in it.
Yes, absolutely. Okay. The best environment in the world won't help if the staffing is poor, if training is weak, or if the residents are not treated with patience and respect.
You know what? You just brought up staffing. Let's talk about that for a moment. What makes the staffing so, I guess,
important?
Central, yeah. Central importance, sure.
Well, staff have to understand dementia well. They need to know how to respond to confusion, agitation, fear, and changing needs without becoming impatient or overly controlling.
So obviously the philosophy of these villages matters, but more importantly, the people matter.
Yes. A village model is only as good as the caregivers that are running it.
So families may hear village and assume it automatically means better quality of life, but is that guaranteed?
Well, you know, not at this time because it's a new policy, right, or a new program. A memory village can be excellent, average, or disappointing, depending on the design, the staff, the funding, and the care culture.
Another point worth discussing is whether some people might be better served by a smaller, less elaborate setting instead of a full village.
Well, that's a good question. Not every person with dementia needs or wants a large themed environment. Some may do better in smaller, quieter, more familiar residential settings with consistent caregivers.
All right. So there is no one size fits all. It just depends on the individual.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Well, dementia care should be individualized. What comforts one resident might confuse or overwhelm another.
And then there's also the emotional weight for the families that are making these decisions. A lot of times they are making decisions, choosing under stress because of what's going on.
Yeah, and that's why they need honest information. They should ask what the village actually provides, how are the residents supported, and what the staffing ratio looks like, and how decisions are made about freedom and safety.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's pretty practical advice.
Well, families should look beyond the marketing language and ask how the model works day to day.
Okay. So real quick, let's talk about freedom, quote unquote, for a second. Some people actually love the idea that residents can walk around more naturally, but freedom in dementia care can also be a bit complicated too, no?
It can. People need protection. But too much restriction can be dehumanizing. Too much freedom without enough support can be unsafe. The real challenge is finding that right balance.
That's a very good point. And that balance itself might shift over time as the condition of the person changes, right?
Exactly. Dementia is not static. It continues, well, it will always evolve or devolve, sometimes quickly. A good setting has to adapt.
Something else, I guess, that comes up in these discussions is dignity versus deception. If a village recreates a familiar time or place, some of the people worry that it might be misleading. I don't know. What do you think?
I personally don't think so. But it's an ethical issue. Supportive design is one thing. Deliberately confusing residents is another. The intent should be comfort, not trickery.
No, I actually agree 100% with what you just said. So the question itself becomes, is the environment helping people feel more calm and oriented, or is it just manipulating perception?
That's the line that matters.
Okay. And still, for many families, the emotional benefit is obvious. If a resident is calmer, more active, and less distressed, then that's meaningful both to the resident and also to the family.
Yes, a good memory village can reduce fear and increase daily pleasure and that should not be missed.
So I guess we can like boil it down to the model itself isn't necessarily good or bad. There's a lot that goes into it.
Right. It's promising, but not okay. perfect. It offers real advantages in dignity, engagement, and atmosphere, but it raises concerns about cost, proof, and access and ethics.
That's actually probably the fairest way to put it.
Yeah, it's less judgmental. Mm-hmm. The model should be judged by outcomes and by how well it respects the people living there.
Okay, so if a family is considering this type of care for a loved one, what should they be looking for?
They should look for trained staff, individualized care plans, mm-hmm. transparent pricing, safe but not overly restrictive design, meaningful activities, and a clear explanation of how residents' autonomy is respected.
And should they ask whether the setting truly fits their loved one's needs?
Yes, because okay. no model is right for everyone.
So the final takeaway is that memory villages can offer a more humane experience, but they aren't necessarily a magic fix.
That's right. They can be thoughtful and compassionate, but they still need evidence, accountability, and a strong care culture to be worth the investment.
And for the families, that means staying curious, asking questions, and not being swayed by appearance alone.
Well said.
This podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen. Never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something that you have heard on this podcast.
Till next week.